Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
And g'day everyone, and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast after round 11. And we ask all rise, please, for the standing ovation as we welcome you to the Super Footy Podcast. Mick's here, but the number one tipster in Australia, Lauren Wood. Welcome, Lauren.
Oh, what a reception. Thank you. Yes, I don't often get to gloat about my tipping, but I'm going to take the opportunity, especially with Mick here. I got every tip on the weekend, and I've overtaken him.
And you are the number one tipster at the Herald Sun, and the just about in the world. Is that right?
Well, we go for world records in AFL, don't we? So why not?
It's actually one of my bugbears.
Yeah, me too. Saying.
How's your tipping going, Hutto?
I've not got one wrong all year, Mick.
I think we need to make it to
a tipping competition.
Usually the prize is glory.
There's nine bad moods you're guaranteed not to be in every weekend. Yeah. Does your head in tipping.
Yeah, it does. And it's particularly for us because there actually is no prize with the Herald Sun tipping. It's only glory. So here, consider it now. My first push for this year to be the first prize. For the first prize. Yeah, if any car yards want to come on board and donate, I'll be, very well received.
Fantastic.
Well done.
Well, it was a great effort.
Thank you.
From now on, everyone's going to be tuning in just to hear your tips each and every week. Let's talk about the one that you got right in Perth last night, first of all, and that was the performance of Collingwood. And really, they should have won by a lot more than they did. And it was turnover city from both teams, actually, but it was a great win by the Pies, given how many players they had who were lame by the end of it.
Yeah, I was worried, I must admit, in the last quarter when Darcy Moore missed that goal. I thought he could be in for a Beacon rewind here. And
I'm sure he was thinking that.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that his new role, rucking and forwarding? Like his old man.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Just takes the pressure off him a bit, Tom Boyd style.
No doubt.
And they were under fierce pressure, Collingwood, during the week with that review, that bizarre review. We talk about that later, Hutto. I still don't know what that's all about. We're told it's not about the coach. And you just get the sense that maybe the coach is safe. We oscillate, don't we? Yeah. They'll probably lose to Melbourne and they'll come for him again. But that was as a supporter, they're the best wins for your team. Over there, on the road, you're injured. It's tough. It's when you're really proud of your team.
I've felt like all along that they don't want to sack him because A, because they put him in, and B, because he's the favourite son, and C, they think he can coach. But the evidence has mounted to such a position where they almost couldn't reappoint him. But now if they can continue on, and even if they just miss the finals but have 10 or 11 wins, then and you can say they're on the up, they're on the rise, they're piecing the puzzle together, then there's a legitimate argument to keep him.
Do you reckon they can make the eight?
Yeah, well, if they can, because the team they beat is in the eight, and they're not going to make it. Big game this weekend against Melbourne.
Massive game.
Is that the eight-point game?
And I think that's what really is going to count against them, and the injuries obviously is a significant part of that, but is just how long, when we start talking a team up 2 weeks ago, Sydney can still make it. Then they lose against a weakened Hawthorn. Last week, some idiot on this show said North Melbourne could make it, and look at their run home. But then they lose. So, it's just such a long way from here. But I guess when you get to 5 and 6 and we still don't know whether
one
it's
game out
12 or 13 wins, that the percentage 12
will do it.
Enough.
I like it when they're freewheeling and they just take the game on. And I
Jordan DeGoey.
He's best game. I actually like their list a lot, I've got to say. I mean, there's a lot of exciting players. Now, Elliott's a huge blow.
Huge.
Because he's a gun. Wells is a big blow with the calf. That hurts. But, I don't know. There's a bit to be excited about.
Yeah, no, there certainly is. And just the courage, as we said.
Goldsack.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
He's been a great player for a long time. Premiership player.
Grundy was really sore in that last quarter as well. Greenwood hurt his knee early in the game.
Hoskin Elliott. Is that deliberate, that little sort of rugby style, Cameron Smith type ensemble?
I think he'd be claiming it is.
It was deliberate, but he didn't.
It just came off better than he thought.
In front of him. in the head and come back to him. But I actually think he should have handballed. Darcy Moore was on his inside and would have had a clear path to goal. But anyway, let's not take away from the moment. Freo, well, I mean, it is amazing that they are in the eight, isn't it, really? They're in eighth position.
Well, they stole that game.
And their percentage now, just looking at our super ladder, 81.4%.
Mm. It's got worse since everyone highlighted how bad it was.
I think I talked about it on here a couple of weeks ago, how bad it was. Yeah.
It's gone down to 81.
Brad Hill kicked goal of the year, one of the, and then just howler.
What was he doing?
We'll talk more about that. There was another one on the weekend.
We'll get to that in Beacon Rewind because, fair dinkum, you just scratch your head sometimes about these elite players. But
you would have just kicked the drop, would you, Hutto?
Well, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't have. I don't think I would have been.
What's wrong with the end over end drop punt anyway? Mm. You know,
Rather,
you don't have to get the side spin. Just the anyway.
Yeah. Mm. So, if you had to guess, would you say Collingwood make it or don't make it?
Well, I oscillate, but I'm excited. I think they can sneak in there.
Yeah, I reckon. I'm a bit.
They've got to beat Melbourne. It's a final. Pretty Queen's quickly. Birthday. Could it get 80,000 to the... This is the big Neil Danaher, big freeze. Are you going down the thing, Hutto?
No, you have Lauren, to represent Australia to do it. That's this year.
I can't represent Australia in my tipping?
Well, it's good.
You're leading Australia. Yeah. It started
with Leighton Hewitt. And,
is Leighton doing it?
Yep. And then he passed it on to Hooker.
Yes.
And then... Or at least, and then he passed to Elise Campbell. I'm not sure where it's at other than that, but you have to have represented Australia.
So they'll come out during the week.
Yeah, it's going to be massive, and everyone should get. I know they will, but it's just a great campaign, and it's great to see Neil still out there doing it.
Sensational.
And it's going to be huge. Now, it's probably going to be the biggest one we've had so far, isn't it? In terms of
momentum for both teams.
Yeah, for both.
Surprised with the all leg spinners, he didn't represent Australia.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm still given if they go on strike, Mick. I still think
you're
I'm
in.
I still think I'm a chance. Which leads it into is this just me? What was yours going to be first up?
Yeah, well, Mick mentioned him before, but of course Jamie Elliott going down with that ankle. Is it just me, or is the prospect of losing him, particularly with the situation that they're in at the moment, just huge, even if it's only for a few weeks? As we said, they're on that precipice of the eight at the moment, and I just feel like in the last few weeks he has just completely straightened up that forward line. It's allowed, you know, Darcy Moore, as you said, he's changed his role a little bit. I mean, small forwards are sort of the vogue at the moment, aren't they, for
they
most
are.
Teams? But
don't step on the toes of my is it just me,
that's
which
right,
is
we'll
up.
Get to you in a minute. But understand he may not have made the flight back from Perth.
Go on my is it just me either.
But, no, I'm just setting it up for you to lead into yours. But, maybe didn't make the flight back. We're checking on that today. But I just think he's going to be a huge loss for them.
Massive. But by the time he comes back, hopefully the tips have grown out.
Hopefully. What is going on with him and Rory Atkins with that tips? Sort of like 90s sort of style.
Yeah, I thought it was
I'm glad you said 90s style because I had those going once.
Yeah, Jamie's are a bit more sort of, they've actually been... you know, really hairdressed. Whereas
texture.
Rory's, I thought, we have dares. I know a lot of local
homemade,
footy clubs do
you reckon?
It. Yeah, a lot of local footy clubs, you know, you spin the wheel on a Thursday night and your number comes up. We've got a boy at our club at the moment who spun the wheel and had to put the box bleach through the hair and play with it over the last couple of weekends, and it's not a great look.
What
so
club's
I wondered
that?
Whether Rory Atkins might have,
what's the club?
Might have been there down at Moorabbin in the Eastern Footy League.
Tipped my hair once in my life, Mick, when I was playing.
I think you got a few great tips in there.
Yeah, there's a few great tips there now. I was playing Amos.
Who are we playing for? Fitzroy Reds.
Yeah.
I knew it.
And
typical Fitzroy Reds sort of set up there.
And I had the. It wasn't called.
We'd never get that down the peninsula, would we?
Uni Reds it was when I played.
Used to hate playing them.
It was Uni Reds.
Good oval though, Brunswick.
Yeah, it was fantastic. That was the reason I played. I wanted to play at Brunswick Street Oval. I live nearby as well, but at the time,
of course you did.
I had the tips, and we played out at Coburg. Next to the jail.
Oh, near Royal Park there.
Next to the jail.
Pentridge.
That over near Pentridge. And it was a pretty interesting crowd. And I was playing on the wing. And I had the bleach blonde hair. And I was just getting smashed by the old birds there on the wing yelling at me. And so I'm like, right, I think that might be it.
Well, on that, should my is it just me, should media celebrities flying back from Perth give up their seats in business class to injured Collingwood players? Because my mail... is that there were players on crutches, being carried on stretchers with ice packs coming past Hutto in 1A professional elite athletes.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because Hutto's had to front up here today, obviously. Please. So he's flying in business because today he's got to conduct his business.
Yeah, correct.
But have they got to go to training? I don't know. I'm a bit torn, but I think it's an interesting debate.
That our players' travel economy, and I'm serious about that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just an expense thing. I mean, it is expensive. Oh, well,
expense, isn't it $1 billion a year industry?
And they also do have a relationship with an airline.
Yeah, well, there's an agreement. And, like, there was plenty of, just to answer your question, I don't know where you got your mail from, but there was plenty of spare seats in business. So it wasn't like
I was taking up one.
So there's only one Collingwood player.
So there were spare seats.
Yeah.
And that not. Then they didn't bring the Collingwood players up.
That's correct.
That is a ridiculous.
Even just to sit there, not even if you're
Collingwood
making.
Player?
That's what I've often thought on planes. I just want to sit there. I'm not going to make the most of the hospitality. None of that. It's not going to cost you anything to have me sit in that seat instead of this one.
I said, you know, come on. We don't want the business class area crowded with.
So you've copped a bit about your flying over the weekend, haven't you? I heard on Saturday you were accused of a bit of
queue jumping as well.
Just a bit of confusion. Stacks onto Hutto.
Who was the one Collingwood player in business?
Oh, I can't remember.
The captain.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Was it the captain?
Whoever it was completely unapologetic, just like me. He was coughing up from his teammates, and he was completely unapologetic.
Shut the curtain, please, to the air hostie. Make them leave me alone.
Absolutely. Yeah, right, we need to move on. And I touched on my Is It Just Me, which was, you touched on it, which is the secondary tall forward becoming an endangered species?
Yes.
Because we saw Collingwood have gone for one forward, and he's the ruckman. He's the second ruckman in Darcy Moore now. Richmond.
No,
it's
we
been
haven't
because
got one.
Of necessity, because they actually haven't, none of them have been playing well enough to get a spot in the team. But are we headed this way?
Well,
the Bulldogs sort of did it last year.
But again, well, no, they've got a lot of forwards, haven't they? They're bit smaller forwards. I'll raise you Peter Wright and Tom Lynch. But if you've got them, it works for you. And if you don't, you come up with the Richmond style.
Well, the Giants
doggy
are
style.
Interesting because they've got three. Not sure that came out the way.
Sorry.
It was intended.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. The Giants are interesting in that they've got three tall forwards.
They've got about 15,
yeah,
I don't
know. Yeah. Rory Lobb's out injured at the moment.
Yep.
Will he definitely come back in? Will they definitely go back to three tall forwards? Because I think there's an argument to say that three that hasn't worked as well at various clubs in the time. And you're right, it depends on the personality you've got. But even Peter Wright, and Spud made the point on Friday night on SEN that he thinks Peter Wright's a full forward, and actually Peter Wright was playing that position late in the game when he came out and took those important marks. So,
is it more of a midfielder's game than ever before?
I think it's two things. Sorry, Liz. I reckon it's two things. Probably a whole bunch of things, but just the amount of running is required up and down the ground now, so the smaller guys generally are better runners and can do that. But it's the forward pressure. And Richmond great credit to Damien Hardwick. I mean, again, it's about the resources you've got. He's obviously got these pressure players, but they've based their whole game on that, and that's working for them. So I don't think it's great for the game myself. I don't think we really want the game based on kicking the ball into the forward half, getting your press set up, locking it away, small forward supplying forward pressure until you score. I reckon that's pretty boring. Yeah,
and we're at the halfway mark of the year. And look at the Coleman medal. Yeah. 34 is leading it. And then, you know, Paddy Dangerfield's kick 22, he's almost leading the Coleman.
Yeah, and at the start of the year, we're talking about this free-flowing footy and scoring. On the weekend, how many games did we have where it's teams scored over 100? We had four teams score over 100 over the weekend. Whereas at the start of the year, almost all teams were scoring over 100 or close to it.
But doesn't that go to show the fact that you just said before that how much things have changed in the time that Rory Lobb has been out?
Yeah.
And that he basically, as you said, may not find his way back in because, game plan's changed in the time you were injured.
Yeah, sorry.
That how long will it last? I mean, it's that sort of season, isn't it? Everyone's got to keep up with the Joneses, and in another 3 weeks it could be completely different.
Yeah.
It's great.
All right, Mick. Well, we've held back long enough. Time to talk about your team.
It's a good win by Richmond against their nemesis, North Melbourne, at a ground they don't particularly play well on, and they completely smashed North. And I've got to say this. I've given this some thought. Now, Dustin Martin, to me now, is the equal of Matthew Richardson as the best Richmond player I've seen since, the Bartlett, probably Waitman times, going right back as a kid. Now, I think he's roared past Cochin. I don't think he's better than Richo yet. Richo kicked 800. And then there's Rance as well. Richmond have now got probably two of the top five players in the comp, haven't they not?
Is Cochin top five?
No, Rance. Rance and Martin.
Okay.
Cochin's had a huge year.
Yes, yeah.
So it's a one of the reasons Richmond are going well is they've got...
And Jack is an elite
yes,
forward.
Yes, he really is. He's a star. But, I mean, any other Richmond players of that? Knights, Campbell,
haven't quite
Delidio.
Kept as close an eye on them as you have, no doubt. But, yeah,
how long
for how
period
long?
Do you have to have...
Well, yeah, he's
probably having his best year this year, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good last year.
So he, pay the man,
he's more,
is what you're
saying. He was way more effective this year than last year.
His kicking was...
turning it over last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, kicking around
half.
His body. Now, he it was like he was playing for the Cleveland...
Cavaliers.
He's that good. Underground handballs, and his kicking has gone to a new level. So... I think he'll go past Richo.
Is he going to stay a Tiger?
I hope he does at Richmond, yes.
Yes, what do you think?
Well, if he leaves, he won't be the only one leaving.
Oh.
Oh.
Hang on.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Well, if Richmond let him go, there could be a... what was that name? Martin Hiscock? He could be back.
The what was it?
What were they called again?
Focus on footy.
Focus on footy. Focus on footy. They could
quickly
be back.
We forget.
But even then, as you say, there'd be if he stays, it's a huge selling point to other players too, isn't it?
To play with him.
Yeah. So you say, you know, it may lead to players going, but if they do manage to get him to put pen to paper, which...
Surely he will. I think
he's in New Zealand at the moment, if you're listening, Dustin. I hope things are nice over there.
He's a big listener to the podcast.
He did a bit of media too on the weekend.
Yeah, he's gone down Media Street. Actually, well, just on the Tigers then, before we get... My beacon rewind is as a result of that game, but we talked about what they're doing style-wise, and it's been a great credit to them. How far can they go this year? Are they top four? They are now. Are they top four material at the end of the year, do you think?
Well, that's sort of been the discussion over the weekend, hasn't it? But, I mean, it's had the discussion before about Collingwood. At the moment, you would have to think that they are, but there's just so many other teams that you look below them. There's Port Adelaide a fifth, Western Bulldogs, you know, they've really hit their straps against St Kilda a couple of weeks ago, and have they got more to give? So,
do they need a scalp?
They got the bye this
needed
week,
help.
And they got a pretty good draw. Would we agree it's a race in six?
I think so,
season.
I think so.
And you see, I mean, West Coast, we'll get to them later. They're out of it now, surely. So there's a case there for Richmond.
Well, you say those teams are out of it.
And one injury and Richmond's in all sorts.
Well, that's true.
Licorice. Particularly if it's Jack.
Yes, that would make it difficult, wouldn't it?
Because Elton got hurt in the twos. And
I'd still, even the Giants are vulnerable to the wrong. I know they've carried a lot of injuries effectively, but if Mumford got injured, where does it leave the Giants? Yeah. So there's still a lot of great unknowns about the season ahead, which is absolutely fantastic.
Fascinating interview with Leon Cameron over the weekend. I don't know whether Stevie J is going to hang on, just by the way he was talking. And there also is some concern about Delidio. One more setback and he's a year shot too.
Yeah. No, well, it's sort of starting to work towards that end of the year, isn't it, where these things are...
The business end?
Yep, the countdown clock is going to be on. My beacon rewind. He clearly wasn't watching Saturday night when this happened.
Cooley had a bit of a look at it. Ellis picked up by Brown. Just smashes it on the boot. Long ball. Strong to a one-on-one forward. And White
Jared
has dead checked Jared. Is the unmissable. And he's... I don't know why you just don't go back and kick the footy through. He tried to do a little outside-in dribbler. I don't know what he was thinking. He missed from 20 out directly in front. No one between him and the goal. Unbelievably bad footy. Comedy of errors continues. 10-13-73.
Oh, no.
7-7-49.
Oh, no, Jared.
That was just horrendous, wasn't it? That was the call on SEM with Andy Maher. And, wait, what was he thinking?
Oh, I don't want to sound like someone from... maybe your television station on a show that's on a Sunday night. But,
what did they do with it last night?
I had a field day, I think is the only way you can describe it. But, yeah, of course, Jason Dunstall, if you don't watch the bounce, is a big advocate for kicking the drop punt. And why wouldn't you? I mean, we've all had the little squishy football sort of dribbling it through the kitchen door as we've grown up.
You could have run in all the way.
Exactly. There was no one there, but... Yeah, I think he'll be replaying that one. We're doing it right now, but he'll be replaying it in his own mind.
The footage of the cheer squad was priceless, wasn't it?
It's so Jared Waite, though, isn't it, too? Unfortunately for Jared, and I know he gets frustrated when people talk about him in this way, but it's, you know, something always happens, doesn't it? It doesn't quite
good or
come
bad.
Together.
Did Rance win the Golden Fist for his huge... He must have. Did you watch the show? You're in 1A.
I was in 1A. I was watching this movie about a... You know, I'm not saying it's a great movie, but the idea for the movie was really good. It's like the dud table at the wedding. It was called, Table 19, and it was all about the dud table at the wedding.
The whole movie.
All the leftovers
don't quite fit in any other table.
There would have been a romance of some sort on the table, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. You would have never sat on the dud table at a wedding, would you?
No, Mick? Plenty of times.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, fair enough.
Are those movie reviews?
My movie reviews, they're great. What's your Be Kind Rewind?
Oh, John Worsfold. Unfortunately, I was out at Essendon this morning, so I'm glad I'm getting this out after I've returned. But I'm a big fan of Woosha, but his decision not to tag Josh Kelly on the weekend, he had 22 in the first half, 38 for the day, but no one went near him. Seems bizarre, and I think it sort of leads into there's a bit of discussion about tagging at
Let's
the
just
moment,
have a
isn't
listen
there?
To what Woosha had to say when he was asked that question.
Did you have a plan for Josh Kelly, or did you just back your guys in?
No, not a specific plan. At halftime, we sort of addressed the volume of his possession, but it was a pretty even game, and we tried to get a little bit tighter on him in the second half, but still wanted to generate our ball. You know, he's a very good player. We weren't prepared to just put a straight stopper on him. But certainly we're accountable for him.
So, I mean, obviously they are aware of the damage that Kelly's doing, but it's just bizarre when you hear him. I listened to that whole press conference and I must admit, I came away scratching my head a little bit.
Well, what's the team defence they call it? Grant Thomas, who very rarely tweets, it must be said. You know, he doesn't venture out there. He was tweeting through the game, just put a hard tag on him. I want to see if this kid is with the 10 million or whatever can handle it.
Well, I think it's a legitimate question about the bona fides of Kelly as an elite player. He has not yet really been, that I've seen, been given a hard tag. Can he work his way through a hard tag? Because
Grant Thomas says he wants some Steve Waugh style mental disintegration to see how he responds to it.
Because if he can, then you would have to think he's worth
it.
Oh, he think he is dollars. Anyway. But
definitely, and shortened for the Brownlow again.
Ooh.
But we've seen Rory Sloane's been sat on twice in the last few weeks.
Three times it's worked, and then he got through the one against Brisbane, and then Freo dropped theirs away because they were 8 goals down.
In the same game where Adelaide wouldn't tag your Dangerwood. Mm.
Yeah.
Just don't get it. But they know more, obviously, than we do.
No, they don't.
But your point, I think, off air was you've got to have a guy who can do it.
Yeah, but you'd think that it's worth trying, wouldn't you,
in that situation?
And will they try it later in the year?
Maybe.
Robbo was suggesting in his column that they sort of foxing.
Holding back tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Joel Selwood obviously copped it from Levi Greenwood. We've seen Scott Selwood tag effectively the last 2 weeks. It can still happen. It can still work.
Gee, you must love Joel Selwood as a Geelong supporter.
I was stunned on Saturday. Well, I was stunned on Saturday on crunch time when we were talking about Joel Selwood and we had Chris Scott on and Robbo led him down the path of comparing him to Michael Voss, which he was happy to do. I don't think he quite said he was quite Michael Voss as a player all round, but certainly the fearlessness that Joel Selwood, I don't think I've ever seen a player as fearless.
Except Brownie, not Jonathan
Brownie. Certainly
not
as a midfielder. I actually think he went too far on Friday night. I don't think it was a smart, I know it's easy to say and they talk about you can't train it out of it, but I thought he actually put himself...
Silly.
It was, because it wasn't like Geelong had a player there. It was going to be a 50-50 contest, and he threw himself. He ended up getting a free kick, but he could have been gone for the night, easily gone for the night. Imagine that in the grand final if he does that 5 minutes into the first quarter and he's knocked out and can't come back on.
Interesting hearing his brother, Scott, after the game too, who's saying, you know, as a teammate, I love it. He's fearless. He just throws himself into everything. But as a brother, it's a completely different situation. And I heard someone talking about it on the weekend in a similar sort of way to you of, he's throwing himself into everything. But as you say...
A bit reckless.
I think so.
Well, it's what
the thing that stunned me was our SMS machine was full of people still bagging Joel Selwood, still saying...
Bagging
him?
Yep. Bagging
him,
ducking.
Free kicks.
He gets
special treatment from the umpires. And look, he still does get a lot of free kicks.
Oh, but he is just going to
the free kicks because he puts his head where angels fear to tread.
I was stunned by there's still a vitriol towards him after his performances over the last 3 weeks. It's going to be interesting on the Brownlow because...
I've told you a lot not to use community sentiment as a gauge for common sense and reality, Hutto.
Yeah, well, there's times when you listen to it and there's times when you just maybe don't. But
and they're wrong there.
I think Joel Selwood...
An all-time great.
There's a real chance he will be equal... with Patrick Dangerfield on the Brownlow tally at this stage. I think he's right up there.
It hurts both of them.
It probably does, but...
Although it was the Ablett, Bartell, Swan versus someone else. Pendlebury
over the time. Anyway,
it can be done.
We need to speed things along. I think we're just getting the wind up sign from our
my be kind rewind. Yep. If this was Richmond, this would be described as the worst 46 seconds in football history. The West Coast Eagles kick out against the Gold Coast Suns. I think we've got a grab here.
Let's have a listen of Adam Simpson and his response to it.
Yeah, disappointing, wasn't it? A lot of work done to get back into the game and get 10 points up with 2 or 3 minutes to go. And there was moments in that last few minutes where we lost our composure and some experienced players didn't handle it too well. And
46 seconds left, the kick-in going short. Was that one of the issues?
Yeah, that's one. I mean, you've got to question whether the boys knew there was that much time on the clock. Definitely screaming it from the bench, but... we need to look at that. Yeah, they're the type of moments that you need to be really predictable, and we weren't.
So what was particularly bad, did you think? Shannon Hearn taking the short, the man who can kick at 800 metres, kicking at about 15, or Sam Mitchell?
The big giveaway there is I reckon he's asked the question straight after the game, what the hell happened there? And maybe they didn't know how long to go, which in itself is extraordinary.
Massive bugbear of mine. Always know how long there is to go. Your runner should be there. Any time under... 5 minutes, would you say?
Yeah. You know? No doubt. They're under fierce pressure, West Coast, and so is the coach, because they don't tolerate this sort of stuff over there in the Wild West. So that was a howler, an absolute howler by West Coast.
They're the disappointing
team of the year, just about.
Yeah, they've really come way back, haven't they?
And do you risk Nick Nat?
Well, it depends where they're at, doesn't it?
We know where they're at, comes. I reckon.
Well, yeah, but in the
I guess
the
they
comes,
wouldn't bring him back if they
well,
didn't.
Well, probably if he's fit, but if it's 3 weeks to go and they're not going to make finals,
yeah,
I don't think they will bring him back.
No, Yeo's been a good player, though.
He's been good, but, I mean, Darling and Lacroix. Heard someone say on the weekend that...
I liked it, yeah. Narc Fines.
Yeah, where they had the sign up for you can't put aerosols and can't
That's
put whatever...
That's your fifth SEN reference, by the way.
I didn't reference it, you did, so...
Yeah, yeah, but it was... Tell the story.
It should be up at the aerosols. Airport. No aerosols and no batteries or no whatever, and have a photo of Mark Lacroix. He's not allowed to fly.
Did kick 12 at Etihad once.
Well, he did, yeah.
That was in a former life.
It was a long time ago, but they are a massive disappointment, that's for sure. What about... we've touched on Josh Kelly already. It was interesting to hear the conversation on the weekend about Hawthorn. Are they still a destination club? Terry Wallace thought that they are because of what they've done, who's coaching. They're going to be out at Dingley. They're going to have amazing facilities. I'm not so sure, but what do you think, Loz?
Yeah, I agree with Plough to a degree. I think the fact that Clarko is there. I don't know how long he's got to run on his contract.
2 years.
Another 2 years. So we've seen obviously what he's been able to do over, the last decade. He's an absolute freak and he's incredible at his job. Obviously there's a few older players that, maybe if you were Josh Kelly, you'd look at that and say, well, okay, they're not going to be there. But as you say, multi-million dollar facility in the mail there at Dingley.
But it's years away.
I just don't know. I just still think they're just one of those teams, and I've said it about Sydney on here before. Maybe they're just not going to really go away.
I've got major concerns about Hawthorn as a club. Yeah,
yeah.
I've just written down a list here. So Andrew Newbold goes, gun chairman, goes to the AFL. Stuart Fox goes, gun CEO, goes to the MCC. Chris Fagan, the gun footy coach boss, goes. They missed out on Mark Evans. Clarko is obviously the best coach in the AFL. Might be the best coach of any sport in Australia with all that experience. But he's there on his own, and he's vulnerable. I mean, why wouldn't the Gold Coast Suns pick up the phone and say, right, here's $2 million, come and coach us for the next 6 years? I'm worried about Hawthorn. Like, it doesn't last forever. And what they built with all that those key people leaving, isn't it a concern, Hutto?
Yeah, no, it is a concern. I think it's
legitimate.
You
put it like that.
Yeah, no, it is. It is a concern.
Well,
Mark Evans, if you heard him on the weekend, he was pretty fighting and coming out strong. And so
it was a great interview. Another reference.
You referenced it.
No, no, he was everywhere on the weekend, and he was strong, Mark Evans. But, He should be a Hawthorn man, shouldn't he?
So, well, do you think he'll make the call to Clarko?
Oh, they would be negligent in their duties if they weren't sounding out the best coach in the country. And I don't know, at half time on Thursday night, it feels like 2 weeks ago.
And they hadn't scored a goal.
That would be the time to pick up the phone.
you would have been loving
just leave
that,
a
Nick,
message,
wouldn't you, on Thursday night when they hadn't scored a goal at half time?
No, I was enjoying it, but there are other clubs that I would much prefer to see in that situation. Hawthorn, I don't have as strong a feeling for as other clubs.
Okay,
what about you?
Enough.
You would as a Geelong man.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I've got to say,
you were calling it, weren't you?
I was.
There's a seventh reference.
It was a...
No, that was a Fox footy one.
It was a pretty ordinary game.
No one feels sorry for them.
Port Adelaide, you know, they've got real bona fides, I think, now about the way they're playing. So
fantastic.
Time will tell, but they've been one of the really good stories from a turnaround point of view. Before we do our tips for next week, what about the jumper punch? By now, by the time people are listening to this, they may or may not quite yet know whether Tom Hawkins is going to have to miss a week. What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? We've had, obviously, Zach Jones last week was considered a bit of a test case for the AFL's really strong views on this. I don't like jumper punching. I think it should be gone. I think the number of people that we've had come back to us and say, you know, kids are copying it at junior level. I think a suspension would put a complete stop to it. I know a lot of coaches have told their players, look, they're hot on it, don't do it. But I really think this is the statement to come. This, I think it got him in the throat, even though Tom's sort of saying it was a push to the chest.
Yeah.
You'd have to think it's going to be classified as high. I think the
Chris
level
Scott
of
got
force,
a call from the United Nations asking if he'd come
did.
And talk.
Yeah,
talk
very,
to them.
Very diplomatic. But I think a suspension would stamp it out, but they're not going to win either way, because either they don't suspend him and it's another week of, oh, but I thought you said you were stamping it out, or they do suspend him and then everyone comes and says that shouldn't be worth a week. Yeah. So it's hard.
There's two issues.
Yep.
One, if he does get done, it's 2 weeks down to one, which is ridiculous. Yep. So they've got to change that.
I hate the system.
The system's a joke. And the second one is, as you pointed out, Loz, they painted themselves in a corner of the AFL. Mm. 2 weeks ago they say we can't do it, and now we'll probably find out that you can.
Yeah, I think he'll. Well, I suspect
unless
he'll
he goes. But then, if you know, 2 weeks, that's just a joke. You don't get 2 weeks for that.
No.
But then we're in the situation too, where he's been suspended and Trent Cotchin's still eligible for the Brownlow. So
yeah. Well, imagine if it had
back
been
back to back Brownlows.
Imagine if it had been Danger or Dusty that had done it. Imagine the attention to it now.
Yeah.
If there was a Brownlow at stake and they'd done the same thing within the same season. In fact, Cotchin's was worse.
Yeah.
Because the force was stronger.
Yes.
Even though Lever.
So you. Do you
he
think
he went down, didn't he?
He went down, got stuck.
Crouch, whereas
Vince went off the ground. So the force, you have to say, on all available evidence, the force.
Bit of business class fatigue.
It's tough up there,
man.
Which movie to watch. Whether to go for the pork or the.
You must have got a few looks from the Collingwood boys, like, what's going on here?
Well, the good thing was.
You got on late.
I did. I was trying to download House of Cards, and I downloaded it. At the last little bit, and then I read
the first episode of the new season.
That's what I thought I was downloading.
Oh.
I got on and I downloaded the first episode of the first series.
Oh, it's disappointing.
So that was a blow.
That's a big blow.
That was a big blow. Yeah, but the good thing was that
the champagne.
No, well, they actually had separate entries on.
Oh!
They did. Only on some.
Red
that's
with a red
card. Extraordinary. Was Bucks up there, by the way?
No, Bucks wasn't.
Wow.
He was back with the
Eddie?
Battle. No, I don't think it.
Head of a jet.
It doesn't go to Perth, I don't think.
All right.
But, no.
Tips?
Tips for the.
And Jamie Elliott.
Here we go. Here's the winners for round 11 with Australia's number one tipster. We won't bother giving out tips.
No, it's yours.
Just me. The first one, I reckon, is one of the toughest of the round.
Sydney and the Dogs.
Up there. I'm going for the Dogs, though, because I reckon they're.
Keep going, Loz.
Crows and Saints. Obviously, the bye came at the right time for the Saints, but going for the Crows, it's over there. They've obviously been doing great things and will be looking to bounce back. Hawks and Suns, we talked a little bit about before.
Even though the Suns beat them by 86 points about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
This one's in Melbourne.
No, I'm sorry for taking so long.
I
had the Hawks circled, but I think I'm going to go for Gold
Coast.
Wow. Can I go for a draw? No, I'm kidding. No, I'll probably change by Thursday, but I'll go for the Suns now. Lions and Dockers. These obviously in Brisbane, but I think I'll go for Freo. Obviously referencing the home team here a lot more. I feel like the home ground advantage is
massive.
It's a lot bigger this year than it has been previously. Bombers and Power. You'd have to go for Power. You mentioned how well they're doing just before Hutto. Blues and Giants.
Well, Giants versus Giants, really.
Yeah. Basically, you'd have to say that.
Lucky Plowman Cup.
Go for your. You think they're not going to lose another game for the rest of the year, don't you? So we'll go for the Giants. Massive one Monday. You mentioned the big freeze before.
Huge.
Neil Danaher, obviously, with the fight MND. reckon with Elliot, potentially we're waiting on an update and him and Wells out. I reckon the D's can get the
Wells
done.
Definitely gone. I think Elliot's not won't play either. So.
And, of course, buys for North, West Coast, Richmond, Geelong. So you can't lose this weekend, Mick. It's always a great feeling when your team can't lose.
Yeah, it is, but you'd rather watch them play.
Definitely.
Just hang on, just finishing writing down.
Why do we play on a Thursday?
Sorry, I rushed through. I'm a bit...
Why play on a Thursday in a split round?
Well, that's because that's the time of year they can do Thursdays because of the, to allow the breaks.
This is it, isn't it?
Oh, that's what it's about.
The buys, that's where they can do it.
Get rid of it.
Death,
Thursday
taxes,
night.
No, and Mick whinging about Thursday night footy.
It's working for... I mean, Thursday night didn't rate as well because people would have turned off at half time because Hawthorn hadn't scored. But the ratings for the other weeks have been excellent. Just before we wind up, you have a question on Twitter that we should answer.
I do, yeah. Chris Morris at RailRider1978 has sent in a question with hashtag SFPod, saying 3 wins in a row for Geelong at home. How many do you think they would have won if they were scheduled at another venue? So,
ooh,
of course, they've
question.
Beaten Adelaide, the Western Bulldogs and Port Adelaide.
Well, it probably depends on which venue you're saying, doesn't it? Like if they were in Adelaide, those two games, you'd have to think, it might have been different, but Geelong did beat those teams last year in Adelaide. The way they beat Adelaide at Simmons Stadium both last year and this year was the same way they beat them over there at Adelaide Oval. So you have to say there would have been a decent chance. The Bulldogs, I mean, who knows really the answer. But it's a significant advantage to Geelong, isn't it? And the whole Geelong and a final thing is going to come up again as the AFL still won't tell them. I think the AFL likes to have Geelong up their sleeve. They can either schedule a final there or not. They can put them at the MCG or even at Etihad if they need to fit all their other arrangements. But it's a massive advantage to Geelong. But then other teams get home ground advantage too, don't they?
Yeah, I think you'd have to tip them now. They've obviously had a great record there over the last probably decade. Obviously been a pretty good team in that time too, which helps. But yeah, I mean, the way it's been against these three sides, you just always have to tip them down there now, you'd think.
That's it. Next week, our show is officially being named Loz's Tips. But for the moment, it's still the Super Footy Podcast. Thanks for being with us. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes and leave us a review. For all your other AFL news, don't forget to follow at Super Footy on Twitter. Use the hashtag SFPod to get involved with comments or questions. Ahead of the next episode, we'll be back next week after another huge round of footy. Have a great week, everyone.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.